Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, January 29th, 2015. And with me today, I have my personal life advisors. Kelly Gaumont, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And Brian Chaffin, how are you?
I'm fine, but if I'm your personal life advisor, you're in trouble.
Well, I didn't
say... It's like having me be your finance advisor from yesterday.
Yeah, well...
Bad call, sir.
Maybe this explains a lot.
I think it does.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess I'm committed to this, and maybe my life will eventually make a good Showtime special.
Better Showtime than Lifetime.
You know what? Those are words to live by.
True.
Yeah, maybe Kelly's now my new life coach. Could be. Awesome. Anyhow. I have a couple topics today that I think will get us into our ranty pants.
All right.
Just a hunch. So the first thing I wanted to take a look at is the news that the FCC gave Marriott the smackdown and is threatening serious smackdowns on other companies too. This smackdown is because Marriott chose to interfere with the radio signals for Wi-Fi hotspots so that people couldn't use them in the hotel and instead would have to pay for the hotel's crappy Wi-Fi. And the FCC said, nope, you know what? That's against the law. You can't do that. And Marriott finally agreed to not do it and to pony up $600,000 as a fine for what they did. The FCC is now actively looking at other companies that are getting complaints for doing the same thing. And they said that they will aggressively pursue companies and will take whatever legal action they deem appropriate.
Good.
Yay.
Yeah. So I'm really glad that they're doing this. I was just imagining how many travelers were, you know, like business travelers, were going to find alternate places to stay. Like they were going to start picking out the hotels they went to based on whether or not they had radio interference systems set up.
Mm-hmm.
And now it looks like that won't be an issue.
And then think about the ripple effect of that, where conferences decide they're not going to hold it someplace because nobody wants to stay there, you know, and that becomes fundamentally unpopular, or you know, any other sorts of large business things, you know, because there's a lot of companies that get together for all kinds of reasons, and for all of that business to suddenly go, yeah, we can't stay at the Marriott because everybody with their personal hotspot is going to be screwed when we get there. You know, maybe we'll stay somewhere else instead. And that's a whole lot of business for a lot of hotels. So I'm glad. I think I understand why Marriott finally did it. But I sort of get the feeling that Marriott's apology is like when you make a kid apologize and the kid really doesn't want to. And so it's like the least sincere apology. I'm sorry, I bit you in the arm.
Yeah. I'm sorry I broke your Wi-Fi. I'm betting that the apology was not sincere.
No.
But I also think, and this is just me speculating, but I also think the main reason that they went ahead and capitulated was not because they were concerned about losing business, but instead because they realized that that what they were doing was flat out against the law. Because there are already laws in place that say you can't interfere with radio frequencies, and they were blatantly and intentionally doing just that. So it was going to become an ugly criminal thing eventually, I think. So they decided to put an end to that, and I think that's really why they stopped, which is kind of sad, because if their big concern is we don't want to deal with criminal prosecution as opposed to we should be doing the right thing to take care of our customers. What does that say about the company?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it's a bottom feeder mentality, which isn't mm-hmm. all that uncommon in the corporate world.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
And while that's completely true, that doesn't make it any less disappointing.
No, it's extremely disappointing. And what's really disappointing is that the market didn't take care of this on its own. That people didn't just stop staying at the Marriott.
Right.
I mean, Marriott should have been a freaking ghost town after this, and Marriott and everybody else would have learned their lesson. But people were still going to Marriott hotels. Of course, a lot of it was ignorance, and a lot of it was complacency on the part of consumers. Mm-hmm. The news was out there, and Swaziland.
Wow.
Okay.
I'll have what Brian's having.
Yeah.
I have an article about Swaziland up on my screen. That's so funny. Marriott should have been spanked much harder by the marketplace, and it wasn't.
That's true. And Brian, now I just have to ask, do you have an article about spanking on your screen too?
I do not.
Okay.
No. But the day is young.
The day is young, yeah. Yeah, and you're right, Brian. They should have been given a much harder smackdown from consumers before the FCC even got to the point where they were saying, write us a $600,000 check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that would have had a much bigger impact on their business practices.
Yeah, $600,000 isn't a lot of money.
No, not when you're Marriott.
It is to, yeah, to you, the three of us it is.
Yeah, it's a lot of money, especially mm-hmm. for planning on going to Swaziland.
It's true.
Actually, it's like a king in Swaziland.
Yeah, Swaziland. Yeah, it's the whole thing. There's it's the last.
You may be able to purchase Swaziland for $600,000.
Yeah,
and open a Marriott.
Anyway,
yeah, just buy it outright. Put up a bunch of Marriotts.
Yeah. So, anyhow, yes, I agree. They needed a bigger smackdown. And what I'm hoping, though, is that with the very strong statement that the FCC has made and the fact that Marriott did have to pony up some money, that we will see this practice go away. And what I'm hoping is that it hasn't been as widespread as I fear it may be. But regardless, hopefully this just goes away, because it should just go away.
It really should. It was a terrible idea in the first place. And let's be honest, even when the Wi-Fi is working in a hotel, it's usually not that good. And when I have tried to get resolution for things like that, I usually end up being told that there's an Ethernet cable and I should just be using that instead.
This is why I always travel with an Ethernet cable. Because if I do have the option, I plug in my Ethernet cable and then plug in my Airport Express.
See, that's exactly what I do, too.
Yeah. So, all right. The other topic I wanted to take a look at is this news that has come out that China is going to demand or require that companies selling technology to certain industries in their country, mm-hmm. specifically the banking industry, that's what's being highlighted right now, will be required to build backdoors into their computers, build backdoors into their software, submit to very invasive audits, and hand over their proprietary source code to the Chinese government. And if they don't, then they can't sell their products in China.
We can say with a complete lack of irony that normally accompanies this sentiment, thanks, Obama.
Now, before listeners, roll your eyes, there's something to that.
Yes. So what happened was the Prime Minister Cameron in the UK mm-hmm. came out very publicly saying, we need to have backdoors into messaging services and other communication software so that the government can ensure our safety from terrorists and other sundry bad guys. Mm-hmm. And while we're flipping out thinking, holy crap, how can he get away with saying that? Then President Obama steps up and says, he's right, we need it too. And now, now we're all doing double takes. Like,
this started at a lower level. I mean, this has been an orchestrated campaign on the part of the Obama administration, but it started with the FBI director James Comey calling for a similar thing. The DOJ called for a similar thing, and then David Cameron said that he promised to outlaw encrypted services that didn't give England a backdoor into them. And Obama asked for his. So, I mean, it's all part of an orchestrated campaign on the parts of these two Western governments. But it certainly gives a foundation for China demanding the same thing.
It does. And, yeah, absolutely does. And then there's the delicious irony of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other organizations coming out and saying, oh, no, China, you can't do that. This is going to be bad for business. So here we have the United States saying, we want this backdoor. And at the same time saying, you can't do these backdoors. It's bad.
Wait, you said the Chamber of Commerce said that?
Yeah, United States Chamber of Commerce. And President Obama is expected to be making a statement coming out against China's new regulations as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the Chamber of Commerce is not part of the U.S. government.
No, but President Obama is.
Yes, he is. He's a key part of the – yeah. Yeah, it's going to be kind of interesting to see to see our own government protest this under these circumstances, because, you know, that's just a bit of hypocrisy.
And
that's part of why this, you know, most of our focus here at the Mac Observer and on this podcast and on the Apple Context Machine has been on the reality that having a backdoor accessible to the government means that a backdoor is available for the bad guys to exploit. Right. That's been one of our key focuses on why this is a problem. But here is yet another problem, and that is twofold when it comes to international business. On the one hand, the United States having a backdoor into any aspect of iOS or Android or OS 10 or Windows makes our products, makes U.S. products a lot less palatable to foreign governments, especially foreign governments that are in competition with the U.S., i.e. Mm-hmm. China, Russia. Mm-hmm. But on top of that now, the flip side of that is that it gives those same governments carte blanche to demand the same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just – it's a terrible, terrible road to go down. No good is going to come out of this. And yeah, it's a mess.
It is a mess. And Brian, you hit on another thing that a lot of people are looking at as part of the motivation for China to take this stance. And it's, where is all this technology coming from? China wants to have the technology that people are buying in their country to come locally, so from Chinese companies. They mm-hmm. they don't want people buying their electronics from American companies or British companies or whatever. They want it to be Chinese companies. So this is a very strong move to push those companies out of China.
Yeah, and China can't just slap up strict, straightforward protectionist measures, because then it will be taken to it'll become a negotiating point at the very least, if not something that can actually be taken in front of the World Trade Organization. Mm-hmm. So okay. By putting these kinds of demands, they can essentially put up some of those trade barriers without actually putting up the trade barriers. But I think that China has a legitimate concern at this point. Okay, I do not think that Apple has given the U.S. a backdoor into its operating systems. I do not believe that Google has done so. Jury's kind of out for me on Microsoft, because Microsoft has always just been, just for decades, has been quick to cave to any stakeholder except the user's interest. But I think that China has a right to be worried from an abstract standpoint because of the noises that are being made by Western governments. So, I mean, mm-hmm. to a certain degree, there's legitimacy behind them wanting to be able to look at source code, especially for products that are going into sensitive markets like banking.
Sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can totally get the argument, and I also agree with what you said earlier, Brian, that this is just a bad thing. No good is going to come of this.
It's a road to nowhere. It's a road to nowhere good at the very least. And you know, China's got some round things on them too, in that that country has very invasive practices. That country does a lot of hacking around the world, but that country is also, you know, snooping into every aspect of its own denizens' digital lives.
Right.
So, you know, complaining about this is kind of, you know, like, whatever.
Well, and the thing that's funny is that people are going to start wanting to try to argue the finer points. So, of course, it's a terrible thing for China to want to do all this stuff. But wait, you guys really, like, all the U.S. and England want to do is just get into your phone. Like, that's not as bad. And knowing the deep and abiding love that America has for nuance in politics, I'm really interested to see how this is going to fly.
Yeah, there's one more aspect of this too, and that's that to me, there's little doubt that China wants access to Apple's source code so that it can rip it off.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And yeah, China has a history.
Yeah. Yes.
Apple would be nuts to give that access. It'll be interesting to see how Apple handles it. Let alone how sparks are going to fly between the governments and what kind of hypocritical stances will be exposed on the part of our Western governments.
I'm assuming there will be plenty of hypocrisy because government and politics. And my guess is that companies like Google and Apple, if it came down to it, they would pull out of China before handing over all of their proprietary technology.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I mean, you know, I wonder about that. Google pulled out of China on a technicality when China demanded that Google search engine be subjected to Chinese censoring. Mm-hmm. But Microsoft didn't. Microsoft gave access to the Chinese government to Bing. If a lot of Apple's share stock price, the value that the company has been given by the investors in Wall Street, is predicated in part on growth in China. So it would be a significant impact to Apple shareholders for Apple to just pull out of China. And considered how much money Apple is invested in the Apple stores that it's opening there, and consider also the fact that Apple has its entire mm-hmm. manufacturing operations there.
Yeah,
that's true. And Apple said during the earnings report that they're planning on opening, what is it, 40 stores in China?
Sure.
Yeah, I think something like that.
So, okay. So with that being the case, and the likelihood that information about these restrictions or regulations is something that's been circulating on various levels for quite a while, Apple had to be aware of that. So Apple must have reason to believe that this is not going to be an issue for them.
Or that they can at least negotiate it, yeah.
Right, yeah. Negotiate otherwise,
waters.
Otherwise, why would they have opened up the waterside? Water Lake store?
Westlake. Mm-hmm.
Westlake. Yeah, they wouldn't have opened that a few days ago, and they wouldn't have said during the earnings report that they have plans for 40 stores in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see where this goes.
Yes, and I can't wait to see just exactly what the U.S. government comes out with as its statement against China's plans.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, we're pretty much out of time.
Alrighty.
So I guess we'll have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Anytime.
And Brian, thank you for being here and for your amazing use of China's round things.
Thank you.
Well played,
thank you,
sir.
In the immortal words of the fabulous Thunderbirds, wrap it up. I'll take it.
All right. And we will see everyone else tomorrow.